Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we try and come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Original. And right here, right now, we have Carly Goddamn Milroy.
That's my name.
Yeah, welcome, guys. Carly. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Look, there... I wouldn't have had it any other way.
Oh, great. You do, though, frequently.
We frequently have, and every time I've been really unhappy.
It reached a crisis point, basically, yeah. Where we couldn't go on without this. Just to give us a hard reset, after which Alistair will go back to sort of his state of bliss that yep. he existed in before we started the podcast, and then increase in agitation until once again we have you on the
Come
podcast.
Back,
yeah. It's like the rains in the desert, yeah. Basically. You know, he'll bloom again.
Oh, I'm yeah. happy to be the monsoon to this podcast.
Absolutely, but we're also not 100% sure yet that you will be the solution. Mm. I mean, this is a niche that I've been trying to scratch for years
with all sorts of implements.
With all, right, and so if you're not the reason that the birds flock back to my regions.
Look, I'm not going to lie. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. No, but this is what I'm trying to ease the pressure by saying if you're not the reason, you know, everything else has failed as well.
I think the problem is whether we call it the monsoon. If yeah. we called it the mon eventually, everyone would be a lot more relaxed.
Yeah. You know? Or the mon never.
The mon never. There yeah. you go. And then when it does come, what a treat.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know? It's a real surprise. To be honest, we were very unprepared.
Oh, I wasn't expecting you. Here, I haven't built any kind of irrigation system to take advantage of this. I'm so sorry. You called them on never. I just assumed you weren't coming. And here we are. Anyway,
pleasant surprise.
Pleasant surprise. It's fine. I'll put some grain in. If you don't mind, you got a minute?
Into the sand?
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to grow
Plant
much in
some
that.
Grain. Well, no, I'm closer to the verdant delta.
Oh.
You know, yeah, that flourishes with the floodwaters of the...
Carly, I was going to ask you, do you know what the verdant delta is?
Is it the delta that is green?
Very good.
Is it really?
Yes, yeah, it's rich in nutrients. It's got to wash down the River Nile.
Hello.
We're close to the estuary region.
Okay. Now, Andy, would you be able to tell me what a delta is?
Well, you know the symbol delta, the Greek symbol, which
is it a triangle?
Okay, it's basically it forms that shape. It's a sort of a triangular region near the where a river flows
like
out
a mountain.
Into the ocean. Like a mountain, but lying down and in silhouette. It's like the silhouette of
flat.
A sleeping mountain.
Mm. Right.
You know?
Because it's dark.
Because it is dark.
Rich.
Because it's rich in nutrients, Alistair. Oh. Now you're getting it.
Well, this is my new favorite landscape type.
Triangular type.
Yeah, triangular landscapes. Yeah. It's rare that they're you know that the shape of the landscape is sort of made, you know, like a plane. Nobody ever tells you what shape a plane is.
Nobody cares.
No, like you know, as in a plane, not like a you know. As in like a valley, not like the plane, like in the air.
Well, very often people will tell you what shape of the plane, a plane in the air is.
They actually hardly ever tell you the shape of a plane in the air is.
No.
Somebody goes, hey, Carly, saw a plane the other day in the air. It was kind of like
what
it was like
was
a
it?
Long tube with a two yeah. sticks coming
is
out the side.
The shape of a bird and or Superman?
Well.
Easily mistaken.
Definitely closer to a bird than it was to Superman.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well.
Yeah.
If Superman sort of had arms that came out of the middle of his chest, and
it was quite a lot less noisy,
yeah.
assuming that it's close enough
well,
to.
I mean, maybe he's screaming because the arm relocation operation he's just had.
Oh, because he would feel super pain.
Yes.
Oh, downer.
I guess because that would
Downer. Oh, Downer.
For him.
Oh,
him.
For him. Absolutely.
For him.
Not for us though. It's great for us.
No, it's funny.
No. Do you think that maybe like because he can't experience pain really on Earth, he doesn't know that he has super pain.
Mm.
And then maybe he gets, you know.
Oh, imagine he's like man version of man flu. Super flu. And you're like, oh, Superman here we go. Flu.
He gets Superman. Back to Krypton.
Thank you, Alistair.
That's where he's from. Krypton?
Yeah.
Krypton?
Yeah, he gets back to Krypton. He realizes he stepped on a thumbtack years ago.
Oh,
and only
like that.
Now does he know. Oh, that would be the worst.
It's been in his foot the entire time.
Yeah, it's not like it's septic or anything, because that wouldn't happen to
him.
It
didn't go seppo.
It's just really sore.
Yeah.
It's just sore.
Well, or all of the wounds that he would have got while he was Superman on Earth suddenly come back and hit him when he gets under that red star. Is it red star that comes in? I think it's our yellow star. It's blue star.
Yeah. Oh, his is blue. Ours is yellow.
Ours is yellow.
Ours is the yellow, Alistair. Okay. We're the ones with the yellow in the sky. But I think there's something in Superman flu. All right.
You don't think all of his wounds come back? The thumbtack? All the diseases that he catches.
Well, I mean, but then where lies the comedy in this sketch? Well, it's just a man in extreme pain.
yeah, I know, but like,
I don't find that funny, Alistair. I'm not like you. I don't torture for joy.
I don't, but you would torture a man who's invulnerable.
That's true. I would.
You know.
See, actually, that would be if Superman hadn't become a hero, he would have done a great line in just letting people torture him, you know, because it wouldn't affect him. You know, yeah, get it out of your system. Torture the invulnerable man.
Look, this is what it is, okay?
Yep.
All right. It's Superman loses his job as a journalist because the printing press is going out of business. Websites the websites aren't generating enough
money.
It's
all clickbait now. Right.
So what he does is he hires like an office, not an office space, just like a shop front.
Yep.
Right? And it's just him and some chairs like that. Some chairs, like a few baseball bats and shit like that. Right? People come in and they pay their $10 and they can just hit them as much as they want with whatever they want. Like that. They can bring their own weapons in and things like that. Right?
I tell you what Superman doesn't have is super self-respect. He really, he just went so low so quickly.
Fast.
Yeah. I know, but he'll be wearing glasses, so no one will recognize him.
Yeah.
Until somebody breaks them.
Breaks those glasses. I think that's really funny. And I think Superman falling on hard times and I just think the idea of the death of the print media and how that affects the
Superman.
his cover. His cover's blown, right? He doesn't have what, you know, he's being asked to compile listicles or something on a freelance basis, and he just like his work's not good enough.
It's actually lower than selling your body
as a punishment.
To
could do both. Top 10 wax this week from Superman.
So I guess he would. That would be a great. He could start a YouTube channel.
Top 10 degrading things I've had done to my body this week.
Yeah, it's just people. Like, I mean, I guess he could allow anything because if he's invulnerable.
Yeah. Do you think he's invulnerable to emotional trauma? Like, you know, like that would take a toll on his self-esteem. But maybe not. Maybe he has super self-esteem.
Yeah. Look, there's a chance. That maybe under the yellow star, he's invulnerable to physical pain.
Right.
And under the blue star, he's invulnerable to emotional pain.
Some of those super guys on the Krypton, they did seem pretty sort of, you know, stoic.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think you might be onto something.
I mean, just putting your baby in a ship by itself.
Firing them off into space.
For real. Yeah.
I mean, it's not the kind of thing you do when you really feel for your child. Yeah.
We must protect this child. Well, the rational thing to do is to fire it into space. I am firing our child into space now. This is good. Goodbye.
Good parenting.
Child. We should have given that child a name in retrospect.
Or more than a cape.
I think they did, maybe. They might have.
Did they?
I think I've heard of people saying, this is the name that Superman was given on Krypton.
It's Kal-El.
Is it Kal-El?
Kal-El, I think. Yeah, his dad was Jor-El. Ooh. So there you go.
Mm.
So two facts.
It's forcing
about
him
a fictional universe.
Follow in his father's footsteps a bit.
Mm. Is it
boxing him in?
Yeah. Is it kind of like the Icelandic system where it's like, you know, you take your father's
exactly like
last final syllable and put it at the end of your syllable? Your two-syllable name.
Is that really what it is?
No, but isn't there like, I think maybe in Iceland it's like you take your father's first name becomes your last name.
Oh.
And then you get a new first name.
All the names move one to the left.
Yeah.
Musical chair game. That's fun.
You take the rhythm of your grandfather's name and you say it with the intonation of your uncle's middle name.
See,
and
I think that's fun. I think, look, what we do is we create a new group, or we kind of like, you know, people say like, oh, Australia doesn't have any of its own culture. Well, we try to create its own
culture. Let's make some culture.
Let's make some culture. All right.
All right. Yeah. What do we got?
Naming conventions.
Now, okay, now.
You can pick one of these three naming conventions.
Okay, you use the brand name and the third letter of the serial number of your first microwave. Okay, that's your new surname.
Great.
What do we think? No?
Yeah.
Well, can we have some examples?
Okay.
of the microwave?
Well, Panasonic 4.
Okay.
Andy Panasonic 4.
All right, so that's your last name.
Yeah.
Andy Panasonic 4.
Yes. Yeah,
okay. Right.
I'd be Carly Simmons 7. Is this?
Yeah. I like that. Simmons.
That's pretty much just a name, isn't it?
That is a name.
Okay, I mean, yeah. I guess that's the byproduct is that a lot of appliances are named after people's surnames, so maybe we haven't got ourselves that far.
And it's not all that typically Australian.
No, you're right. Yeah. All right.
What if we took the essence of how your mother's middle name makes you feel?
Oh, that's good.
And that emotion becomes your first name.
Okay. Okay, so it kind of makes me feel forgetful, because I don't remember her middle name.
That becomes your first name?
Yeah.
Yep.
No. But, you know, but I can find synonyms of forgetful, like it makes me feel daft, maybe. So, you know, maybe daft. And what was the second element? Was there a second element or just...
That's all I had at this
So it could be Alistair Daft. Alistair Daft is not too...
Now it's Daft Trombley Birchall.
Oh, Daft Trombley Birchall. That's not too bad. Daft sounds like it could be a regular name. And people just haven't been using it. And they've condemned that name to be an insult.
I think coming up with... like a whole suite of new cultural things for Australia is really good.
Yeah.
I think this is a very good example of one, a new naming convention.
Yeah,
I'm not quite sure like what else we could have. Maybe we have like a national dance move, or you know, we all elect an animal mascot every 6 years.
What about every person has to have a familiar, you know? See, like a wizard would.
Back to like roots, right? Like back to, wasn't that a Stonehenge-y sort of a pre?
That sounds really good.
Was that a thing?
Look, I don't know a lot about history, so I'm going to trust you on this. But from what I get, it's either just a pet or it's a magic pet. I think we could sort of bridge the gap by making it you have a pet and you give it a wizard name.
you've got a gerbil and you call it the magnificent Slothnor.
Yeah, see, that's good. I was gonna say Snorlax, but that's a Pokemon. So,
what's a real animal, Alistair? Okay, come on,
just one.
You can do
just
this.
Name one animal. All right, here we go.
One real animal.
One real animal. Okay,
here we go.
It's a magpie.
Great.
Okay, it's a magpie, and I call him
Rivnil the Grey.
No. I'm not gonna have any thes in there. No. I just want. You know, I don't need any words that say, like, I am a wizard in it, you know, things like that. No, I think it's just like a good wizarding name that just captures wizardry within it. Like, did you already have Grolnor? Did you already have used Grolnor?
I have used Grolnor.
Yeah, Grolnor, like that. And he's my familiar.
Yeah, that's great.
Really good.
So everybody has to have one of those.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to write down Australian new.
I think that's great. And while you're talking about that, I'd just like to pitch in a thing that I don't have much for this, right? But I just like the word daft earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got this new thing, and I'm calling it Daftanoons, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a craftanoon, but silly, right? And you get together with some friends, some fellow creatives in your neighborhood, in the living room, and you just come up with new silly things to do. Right?
That's good.
So you get together for a daftanoon and you say, all right, well, I've got a drinking straw, right?
Mm.
And sort of tied a knot in it.
Yep.
Right? And then I'm sort of holding it in my teeth. And then at the other end of it, I'm poking a table tennis ball.
Okay, yeah. But you can't blow through it because you just tied a knot in it.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
So
yeah.
That would be a sort of a thing that you could do.
Well, I guess trying to drink through
a
knotted straw is, you know, that's a nice daftanoon thing to come up with.
That sounds like somebody from England would say. They go, well, that's like trying to drink through a knotted straw. You know, like that does sound like a kind of, you know, like a Thomas the Tank Engine kind of
thing. Poke a table tennis ball.
Yeah.
It does, yeah.
But I think what's really good, what I really like about this
year
is that a lot of the time when you hang out with people, the activities that you do perform are things that already exist.
Right.
You know, that you're never trying to kind of create new activities.
A new form of thing to do.
Because you go, let's go bowling. We go, let's make dinner. Mm. These are all things that people do.
Yes.
Right. But when is the time that people are allowed to just
experiment?
Just try it.
I'm going to get together and we're going to create a new way of being for an afternoon.
Yeah, because like also there's things that we've all decided that we're not going to do together. Mm. So like you know like there's things that are out there like things that are too expensive, maybe things that are morally repugnant
or dangerous.
Right?
Yep.
So what's fun about the creating something new, right, is that you're also getting to create it. And then decide whether or not you guys would do it.
Oh.
Decide whether or not it's morally repugnant.
Would this be in debate? Like, is there a formal procedure to this Australian, or no longer an Australian?
No, we've moved on.
This is just between friends. I mean, obviously.
Could it be done over a Sunday roast?
I would say that we're, as peasants, we're probably peasants, do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're sort of some of the lower echelons of society.
We're definitely toiling.
Yeah.
Maybe not in a field, but maybe in a field of endeavor.
Yeah.
In which we toil.
Yeah. I would say that then we create some culture in some way, and so then maybe at some point it would rise to the top, and the people that these things that we create are the kinds of things that later on rich people would seek after aspire to, because we have by being poor, we have sort of the ability to have fun.
Yeah.
And then they pay for that.
Great.
Yeah,
I think this is a really fun idea. I think the idea of people getting together and just trying to find new things to do with your time, I think that's great.
Should we have a scenario in which this happens? Like, I'd like to make this a sketch. Is this where people are attempting this?
Yeah, well, I mean, like it could be that maybe it's a government grant, right? Like it's, the government is putting money out there, like they fund the arts and they fund sport and that sort of thing. They're just like activities. We've got another. We're putting out a call out for people who want to submit get some funding to try and invent a new activity thing for people to do. Maybe as people are more unemployed or robots take our jobs, we're just going to need more stuff to do.
Sure. Look, that's good too. I do like the idea of like it's like I just come around to your place and I go, hey, Carly and Andy. I just discuss what we've just been talking about and I go, let's try it now. You know, like let's try like coming up with something. Okay, so and then I pick up I pick up maybe a dog bone that's just on your house, that's lying around. You know, maybe like a big long one. It's like a big tibia or something like that. You know,
yeah, we have like them just lying around our house. Yeah. You're right.
Like the
I know we're dog owners, Alistair, but you have a low opinion of us, don't you?
Yeah. You know, and
we're not murderers.
It's like it's just sort of red meat all over it, and
it's a bit rotten.
Yeah, it's a bit rotten and things like that. It's like. I go, shouldn't you at least leave this outside? Like that. And then I go, all right, how about this is a new activity? I could just, you know, some guy was being real passive aggressive about it. And I go, oh, how about let's try a new activity, putting these rotten bones outside. Okay, that's not right. That's not right.
You're not getting in the spirit of it, Alistair. I don't like that.
Well, that's good. Like tibia twirling.
Twirling.
Let's just twirl some of these tibias
like
in
that.
Here.
Mm. Like that. And then I'm kind of just, I'm doing sort of bouncing it from one hand to another. We go, all right. So
okay, and whoever gets the most flicks of tibia meat on the light globe wins. Okay?
Yeah, without breaking it.
Without breaking the light globe. Yeah. Okay, great. So it's like how they invented ultimate frisbee. They just you find something that's lying around, you just try and fit some rules about it. Like, how are we going to score points? Oh, it's flicks of meat on the light globe.
So,
can you get disqualified? Yes, if you break the light.
Yeah, so I like here's one way you could do it, right? You grab a bag of like, you know, sort of, you know, boiling bones that you get from the supermarket or whatever like that. They've always got some meat on it, sometimes more meat than you'd expect, right? That, then you get a twiddling knife, twiddling that you do with whittling knife. Yeah. The whittling knife, right? And you just sit there and you try to flick meat to get it stuck on the light bulb.
Right. Great. This could open up a whole new venture in beacon lighting, possibilities. Like, oh, yeah, the targets and
specialized lights and that sort of thing. Oh, right.
Big bulbs.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
Big bulbs, small bulbs as well.
Small bulbs.
That all have a little number on it, how you've progressed in your skill.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, you work your way up.
Like one is those really big ones that you see in cafes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then progressively smaller. Maybe down to a little
LED.
Oh, I was thinking like a pen light, like a little clicky. You know, the little on the end of the...
What kind of light is in there?
A globe light.
An LED?
No. Smaller than that, Andy. Whatever you're talking about. Oh, no. The last thing. The last thing is, like, you just have a wire, like one of those, like, fiber optic plastic tubes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just real thin. Like, you know, that comes in one of those ugly ugly lamps that just has all the fiber optic lighting that changes color. Anyway, you just have one of those, and you got the trick is to try to flick a little hunk of meat or fat and just get it just stuck on that tip like that. Yeah. And that would be 100 points.
Soon this would, you know, this sport, all the money would come in from the sponsors. It'd get all commercialized and it would be unrecognizable. Wouldn't be the thing that we created to begin with, Alistair.
Do you think this sketch we're writing is basketball?
It's basketball. I think it's much more ridiculous than basketball.
Okay,
great. I mean, basketball, as far as I'm aware, the sport didn't involve any raw meat. And that's a real boundary that we're pushing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not many sports involve perishable things of any kind. You know, they're all durable. They're based on durable items. But this one, I mean, we've introduced the concept of decay into sport, which I think is really, you know, interesting. It's a comment on mortality, this one.
Absolutely, but it's also not only decay of like the meat, but also of the societal standards of what people will spend their time doing.
Doing, you know? Right. Yeah. How desperate are we to not have a conversation at this point?
Yeah.
This will spark conversation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's like have you ever sort of, you know... Yeah.
What are you doing in my living room?
Yeah.
Get that meat off my light globe. Conversations like these are starting all over Australia thanks to the new craze.
Oh, yeah. We should have really laid some plastic over the carpet before we did this.
Get another dog in here. Yeah. Clean up this mess.
Yeah, get another bone. I want to have a go.
This does read a bit like a sport that was invented by dogs, and then they tried to suggest to us subliminally, what about a game where you just sort of flick meat into the air?
So that there's just meat that flies everywhere randomly and I can be nearby.
And then the end of the game is you leave the house with the fridge door open.
Has that ever happened? Have you ever seen that happen with your dog?
No.
No?
Have I ever seen me leave the house with the fridge door open?
Were you suggesting some kind of astral projection of Carly here? An out-of-body experience?
I'm thinking maybe a situation you've set up a CCTV camera on in your kitchen,
yes.
Pointed at the fridge. You're walking out of the door. It's connected to your phone. You're watching it happen, right? And
it's never occurred, but it will now.
Yeah, look, it gets impossible. Give it a go. I realize that sometimes I ask stupid questions. You know,
and sometimes we point that out, Alistair.
What do you think is like the stupidest question you can ask that will give the most like revealing, inspiring answer?
Wow.
It's a real broad kind of question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this could be it, Alistair. You could have just found it as we try and explore what makes something revealing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I guess it would be like an answer that made you realize that you never had to feel bad.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty amazing thing to get out of an answer, right?
Yeah, so...
I just in terms of embarrassing questions, I once went to a talk by my favourite author, Terry Pratchett, right?
Really?
When I was like 12 or something like that, who came to Hobart, and I went along, right? And he had a Q&A at the end, and I asked, what's your favorite character? Aww. Right? And years later, I read an interview with him in which he said that was his least favorite question to be asked. And, I mean, in that sense, I asked a daft question, and I did, you know, learn quite a lot, which is that I'd got offside my favorite writer.
Well, I mean, you know, in a way, it wasn't, on paper, it wasn't a dumb question.
I mean, I think with the benefit of hindsight, I can see why that question was you know, reductive. I should have tried to at least sound smarter in my...
At least it's not something that's Googleable, though. Or like something that you could find out very easily. I'm
but
pretty sure.
Them, what is the capital of Azerbaijan?
Yeah, and then he goes, "Well, the answer to that is you never have to feel bad, you know." And that would be great. Is that, you know? I guess. Look, I guess. Sorry that I've kind of somehow gone back to this, but I guess the root that I feel in there is that like that you would have to get to a point where you kind of go like, "Well, look, there is, you know." Eventually, we're all going to die, and the consequences of what happens in your life, you know, will never transcend that. And so everything that you feel bad about now will eventually be, you know, you'll be relieved of it. And so right now, you would probably don't need to feel bad about it. Therefore, you never need to feel bad about anything.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's great. I
and
I think
the capital of Azerbaijan is.
I think that's good. I don't know if you've got an idea for like how a sketch could be built around that. I have an inkling of an idea, which is just like dumb questions in important interviews. Mm-hmm. You know, like I guess you set up what looks like a really important sort of interview scenario. Like, you know, you've got someone from the 7:30 report or whatever interviewing the Prime Minister.
Sure.
Say, yep. Right? This is as important as I can think of.
It's crucial.
It's crucial. Our whole world hangs in the balance. But then the interviewer asks questions that are just dumb.
Yeah, you know, that's good. I would be really keen to see, and maybe this has been done before, but a close family member asking questions of someone in that capacity, but like, what would you like for dinner? And they have to answer on national television.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I think, you know, if we wanted to make a bit of a bloody comment on the way bloody politics is going these bloody days, you have the politician answering that question, bloody avoiding the bloody question, you know what I'm bloody saying. Yeah. You know what I'm bloody saying about that.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did do that. You know, because everybody hates having to make that decision.
About what would you like for dinner?
It's yeah.
Huge. That's true.
So yeah. I think even just a sketch where you do just see the wife of the Prime Minister... Or, you know, or the husband. Of the Prime Minister
yes.
asking, what would you like for dinner? Like that. And then,
so hang on, I don't understand. Are there two Prime Ministers?
No. It's just...
Is the Prime Minister gay?
Andy, you're so heteronormative. All right? You got to stop it. All right? You know, and then you just see them do the verbal linguistics, which is, look, I am... just repeating what Carly said.
Yes.
But then I feel like I've just put it into a kitchen in my mind instead.
Yeah. And that's very important. Context is important, Alistair.
Well, I guess because I think when Carly said it, I was picturing it still in the 7:30 studio.
Well, but I mean, that's good as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, what would you like for dinner in a 7:30 style interview, right? I don't know how we get there, but like, but it can go two ways, right? You can have important people, politicians in a domestic scenario of being asked domestic questions and avoiding them. Or you can have domestic people maybe like in a really important, like they're in the 7:30 report set for some reason and they're asking those same kinds of questions and somehow
Or like at a press junket. They're the person who gets picked and they're just standing there. Oh, that's an interesting question, Keith, and I'm glad you've asked it. There are really three things to consider when deciding what I want for dinner this evening.
The first thing, of course, is what is right for the Australian people.
Yep.
Or for the family. Like,
for the family, yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Right. Yeah. The second thing is, what do we have in the house?
Yeah.
You know,
there are limits on the resources that we currently have within the boundaries of, you know, the domicile that we currently reside in.
Yeah. Mm. And when you look at the resources that we used on Tuesday in South Australia,
and the state at which your father has left the pantry and the contents of the pantry, you'll see that obviously there's not a lot in the pantry. We're just dealing with the what was left to us by the previous parent in this
previous parent. So there was like a step parent, but he's just, or she has just come back.
This person's just been adopted. You know, both their parents just died in a car crash.
I know we have limited resources in the pantry, but I just want to say that the resources that are in the pantry are still 300 times better
than they would have been
you know, 4 years ago when that person had taken my spot as your mother. They were stepmother, and now I am back, and I'm just saying that whatever we do have for dinner, not that I'm necessarily making it, I've got agency, you know, that it's going to be, it's going to be what's best for our family.
I put it to you. The household, what do you want for dinner? I want spaghetti. Well, that's very interesting. Look, we'll just need to consider our options at this point.
I think everybody wants spaghetti. I think in an ideal world, we'd all have spaghetti all of the time. But the fact is that we can't do that.
Realistically.
That's not practical. I've got to deal with my factional allies and the extended family. And, you know, they have their agenda.
We have a lot of people that are anti-Italian in our family. Mostly me.
I'm picturing this now as a press conference in which the children of the family are the journalists, and the mother or father is being interviewed.
I think this will fit on commercial TV.
I think it'll, Alistair, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Does that mean you don't want to write it down?
No, absolutely. I want to write it down. I'm just saying. It's like
it's bread and butter.
Eh?
It's chicken dinner.
No, but it's not even that it's chicken dinner. We haven't even decided what kind of dinner it is yet.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Like I'm saying this could go all the way to the top.
Of the spectrum of things that we don't really value.
No, we value it.
Just to keep it grounded, at the end of the sketch, maybe just a hunk of like tibia meat slaps him in the face from off camera. And and they all play.
Well, I think that,
yes, exactly.
I think to be honest, that would keep us all grounded, you know, because sometimes you get a big for your boots, a bit ahead of yourself, you know, think you're hot shit. If you then just got slapped in the face with a bit of tibia meat, it would just remind you that, look, you know, we're all just somebody's light globe in a big game of flick the tibia meat. And, you know, when you don't get too big for your boots, you don't get too far ahead.
Yeah.
That is the trouble, is it? You know, sometimes, but then there'll be that problem where people will, you know, like people will eventually find a way to make the tibia meat flicking, you know, to be just some like, you know, more than just the thing that the people used to do. You know, this used to be a family activity. And now we're paying $75 a head, you know, for you getting the best cut of meat, things like that. You know, you can't just use a regular sort of steak knife. You know, And you're having to use a, you know, sort of a laser scalpel.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got these like weird wrist techniques. You know, there's like a school where you go to and you kind of.
The thing is, I don't actually move the knife at all. I move the bone.
Yeah, well.
Under the knife.
Well. Right. Yeah. Looks like someone needs a bit of tibia meat. Slap. Oh, that's awful. That is awful.
Tibia meat slap. Just to give you a tibia meat slap, just keep you grounded. TMS. I felt like I had something earlier, and it's slipped away from me, guys. Slipped away from me like a ship in the ocean.
So, like, like slipped away as in a slimy.
Could have been.
And it was there was a slimy ship in your hands.
There was a slime ship. Yeah, I think if somebody designed a ship, right, and they because nobody's ever done this as far as I'm aware. No one's ever designed a slimy ship.
But for surely a ship to be specifically slimy.
Slimy. Surely it would go through the ocean faster, right? Slime.
Mm.
I think makes things faster.
I think that's how whales move so quickly.
Really?
Covered in fish slime from fish when the slime. Fish go all over
really?
The whale. Yeah.
I didn't know that. So fish go over whales and they go.
They do. I've seen like that. It happen.
And yep. What they're doing is they're excreting slime.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And so.
Yes.
So, because I guess, like,
Carly looked me dead in the eye when she said that, as if to dare me to say, well,
no,
are you 100% sure that this isn't true?
No, but I like that you were like, because, like, you know when you squeeze something that's slimy, it will shoot out of your hands. Like,
yes.
Yeah, right? Maybe there's something about a slime sort of propulsion system.
I think that is so good. It's like okay, so like when you squeeze the soap and it goes flying out, what if that was the way they originally wanted to launch the spacecraft to the moon? Right?
Yeah.
We're basing the propulsion system, okay, on the highest velocity launch mechanism we've yet discovered, and that is soap escaping from your hand when you're having a shower or a bath.
When you try to hug a whale.
When you try to hug a whale, you know, and he slips out of your grasp like that.
Easy, because they're slimy, because of all that.
Halfway across the Atlantic before you realise what's happened, all right? So what we're going to make the bottom half of the Apollo launcher is going to be made out of soap, and we're going to build... Are we going to have
1,000
human hands trying to grab it, or are we going to have 2 giant hands? Or are we going to breed a man with enormous hands?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know.
So he's got a regular-sized body.
Yeah, but just giant hands. If this was the space program, I love this. Yeah. All right? This is how they're trying to get into space. This is what, like... They're stressed about what the Russians are doing. The Russians are using rockets. They're still pursuing this slippery
technology.
Soap head.
No, I think that the rockets are the old technology.
Right,
right.
Right.
I think that this is, they realize that there's way more. There's way more of a future in the slippery soap tech.
Yeah, they've got to get us all to Mars.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Yeah.
And so if you give him one big squeeze real early on, right. Like, okay, first of all, I think it's good that the guy has big hands and he doesn't need a regular size, he doesn't need a big body, because that would be wasteful.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't think the whole ship needs to be made out of soap. It just needs to be covered in soap.
And
right?
Somebody's like, wait, won't the engines burn him up when the thing takes off? You're like,
you fool.
There are no engines.
No engines. This is like a catapult without a catapult.
Yeah.
Right?
There's Norman and that's it.
It's just Norman's hands.
Enormous Norman, we call him.
Yeah, Space Norm. SpaceX, Space Norm, Norman X.
Norm Space.
Norm Space. Norman's hands. Space is in our hands. Hands. Hands Space.
That's it.
That's
You've
him.
Got it.
You got it. Okay, cool. Thank God.
Esquire. Yeah.
Okay, Esquire. Yeah. Good. Okay. And so then do we need another set of hands in space?
What, to slap it back down again?
Well,
to catch it?
Well, I think if you want to just go, you just want to change directions.
Wow. But see, the tragedy is then that you've got to leave. You've got, because by its nature, Norman is left behind. You're going to have to, like, leave a Norman behind in space. You're going to have to jettison a Norman. Like, they jettisoned the stage one of the rocket.
Yeah,
you know, as maybe smaller and smaller Normans as you break off and launch different.
Oh, so that's good. Yeah, so there's just Normans on board. Normans.
You got Normans. He's been cloned. You got this one guy with enormous hands. You've cloned him.
So he's just he's just down the base of the rocket. He's just holding onto the sides of the rocket and he's going up with it. But he's covered just so he doesn't get too cold.
Yeah.
Like that. As soon as he gets into space.
Good, Alistair. See, this is the kind of thinking that we need if we're going to make it to Mars. All right. Yes, it is cold out there. Thank you.
Yeah. And so then he gets up into space like that and he's going, whoa, like that. And then he...
Norman's quite a calm fellow.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Then he gets into space, and then he lines Mars up.
Yeah.
And he goes like that. And he just
shit you off.
And the thing is that he's just holding on to the he's holding on to the rocket, obviously the other part of the rocket. But he's not holding on to that type. And so all he does is he just tries to get a real good grip on it.
Yeah.
Like that. And it slips from his fingers like that. And it heads straight to Mars.
Into Mars.
Yeah.
And then we see quite a beautiful shot of Norman as he falls, slows down, falls back into the Earth's atmosphere and accelerates and burns up.
It'd be nice if he could just put his fingers together and use them as wings.
It would be nice, and then he would look a lot like a bird or a plane.
Yes, real Superman.
Norman, we salute you. The fifth Norman we have lost in this mission so far.
No, but I think that if you had giant hands like that, right? Since you can close your hands and contain water within it like that to drink, surely you would be able to close your fingers and glide.
As far as I'm aware, that's pretty much what birds are doing.
That's right. They're just their fingers are really just
locked,
lapsing over each other, locked.
Right. Birds have all got fingers. They just keep them together. We've never seen them use them, but they're there. I think soap launch is really good. I think I know you went in a different direction, Alistair, but I personally think as a comic device, I think it's very funny if the Russians are using rockets and the Americans are persisting with a soap based launch system, because you can imagine the head of the space program comes down to see how progress is going, and there's just a bunch of guys there squeezing soaps, they're shooting out. It's just such a disaster. Right, and he's like, "What's going on here?" He's like, "Well, we're basing it on this. Why haven't we beaten the Russians into space? Well, because we haven't been able to perfect the, the whatever."
I don't want to get bogged down in the details. You just do what you need to do.
I can't take.
No one leaves this room.
I can't explain the maths to you.
No one understands it. It's just you try. It's like every time one of us tries to grasp the maths. And this,
it slips away. That's the moment at which they realize this is the solution for launching it into space.
That's great.
That's it. Eureka. Brilliant. Alistair, I believe that's 5 sketch ideas of a kind.
You are absolutely right. I didn't even realize that Superman was at the beginning of this recording. That's why it made so much goddamn sense.
It was perfect.
I am such an idiot because we made an attempt earlier.
You don't need to bring it up, Alistair.
No, we made an attempt earlier.
We don't look back on this.
And I feel bad. And I caused the bail.
We barely even look forward.
That's why. Anyway, look, I've got some
beautiful memory that we'll share forever.
Absolutely, I'm going to remember that. There was a time when we were talking about other Olympic sports that that are like walking. Anyway, it's never going to make it onto the sheet, guys. Even though we came up with it, and it's technically an idea, and if I didn't want it to lose it, I could write it down right now.
No,
I won't.
Good. It's gone.
Yeah, great. Okay, so here's the 5 sketches for today. We got Superman. He loses his journalist job.
See, this is very topical.
Yeah,
it's holding a mirror up to society.
Yeah, and so then he gets into letting people do whatever they want to him to his body. Mostly beat it. He just gets a shop front, and then like bats and things like that. And they could just be a de-stress kind of situation. Beat the shit out of him.
Human stress ball.
That's a great name for the shop.
It's because, super relaxing.
Because you go in as a human stress ball. And then as soon as you go in there, he is your human stress ball.
Mm.
And then you go out, neither of you are human stress balls. You know what I mean? The transformation. It's an arc. I don't know that much about narrative, but I think I think that was it. That's people. Somebody.
It's the hero's journey, right? As far as I'm aware.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I think that's it. You're a human stress ball. Then you walk in, then he's a human stress ball.
Yeah.
Then you walk out, and neither of you guys are human stress balls.
It's like Star Wars, I'm pretty sure. It's a very much similar arc. Like Luke, he seemed pretty stressed at the start. Problems with his uncle and stuff. But by the end, he was very relaxed. He looked happy, I think.
Toy Story, there was an actual stress ball.
There you go.
You need to be
a stress ball.
That's a lot like it as well.
It was very similar.
Yeah, yeah. And and Jesus, you know?
Yep.
God seemed to be a, like first in the first book, you know, he seemed to be very stressed.
Oh, man.
You know, very erratic, and he was kind of, you know, flooding people, you know? And then Jesus came along, and he was the, you know, it was the thing that God wanted to become, this person who wasn't as stressed. Anyway, it's pretty good. Okay, then we've got the second sketch is Australian culture created by us. I've written this in the worst English possible. This is exactly how I've written it down. Australian culture created by us, not enough, so we beef it up and create it.
We do beef it up. Beef is a big part of it. Yeah. Whatever it is. I've just had a new idea. It's called the distress ball, right? And what it is, it's like a regular stress ball, but when you squeeze it, it screams and blood comes out. And it makes you really stressed. Like, wow. If you're not stressed, the distress ball will get you there.
Okay, wait. So it's a distress ball.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. I'm going to write it down.
Thank you. See, I mean, sometimes it feels like you talk for 15 minutes and you don't get a single dot point. But then you just say one thing and it's down.
So wait, you squeeze the ball and it screams?
It screams.
Yeah, and it bleeds.
And it bleeds. Yeah. Yes.
Is it satisfying in any way?
No.
No.
Not at all.
Are you sure it's just not the nightmare ball? Yeah. The terror?
It's the opposite of a stress relief ball.
Yeah, no, so that's good. And you feel like you've physically, permanently damaged something.
Yeah, you've made a huge mistake. And then you've got to deal with the consequences. You've got to clean up all this blood so people don't think you've murdered someone.
That'd be great. Mm. That's a really good product. Yeah.
That's what society's missing.
Yeah. I think there needs to be a sort of Goop-style website. Do you know about Goop?
No, what's Goop?
It's Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop. Is that right? Gwyneth Paltrow runs this website. They'll often suggest things like, vaginal steaming and.
It's a sort of a lifestyle website with just like a whole lot of bullshit that people really connected to reality.
Female specific?
It is quite female focused, I think. Yeah.
They'll aim at like, you know, they'll sell you a rock that gives you good luck.
I'm sure you could steam your dick if you wanted to, darling. You can steam whatever you want. It's not discriminatory.
Today, I saw a baboon's dick.
Really?
And it was the reddest red.
Did you just see a dick and it was so red you assumed it must be a baboon's dick? Or did you see the rest of the baboon so you had some
chocolate? I saw the rest of the baboon. Right. I didn't look. I didn't even see the dick attached.
Oh, well, this story is really going
wait. I didn't see where it attached. Like where it attached. I just saw it kind of dangling between his legs. He might have just been holding on to something that looked like a red baboon dick instead of flicking it about and things like that.
Yeah, it sounds like trick it was probably. Me. But it was really red, wasn't it?
It was really red and it was longer than you would think.
Really?
Yeah. Probably longer than any man's.
Wow.
No, maybe not that long. Anyway. It was almost licorice. It was almost like licorice. Anyway, great.
Baboon's dick. The real distress.
But like raspberry licorice.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. 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 Oh, you bet.
I'm glad I clarified.
Yeah, yeah. No. Because that would be weird if it was if it was the color of regular licorice, sort of black aniseed licorice, yet I was saying that it was red.
That would be so weird.
That would be, I mean, it would play with your mind, yeah. Also, with this Australian culture sketch, we're saying, okay, there's not enough culture in Australia. We don't really have a lot of culture. Let's try and create some. And so things like new naming conventions.
Yeah.
But then
I would love it if the government put a call out for this, like when they solicited suggestions for the national anthem. I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they've done it for various flag competitions and that sort of thing. But just like. Any culture, just send in ideas for some culture we can have. Would be great.
Maybe like a new type of bread. A lot of cultures, they have their own
some
bread.
Some sort of bread-based thing.
Yeah.
What shape could we make it? Is it long? Is it wide?
Yeah. Is there like do you have to do that thing where you braid it? You know.
Yeah.
Maybe there could be no braiding. Maybe you could make a bread that's cornrows. Great. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Come up with new activities with friends. So this is where you get together with your friends. This is a little bit similar to the last one.
It's a little bit similar to the podcast.
No, and then and then you come up with new activities with your friends.
That's exactly what the podcast is, Alistair. This episode is particularly like
and
that.
And so in this particular sketch, let's say the person could be coming up with a thing where you whittle bones and to get it stuck on light bulbs with a point system.
I'll tell you who'd like this. Ants.
Ants? Oh, they'd love it.
Just that meat around the place. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if ants are really into meat, but they must be because they eat dead flies and stuff. So, yeah, no, definitely
but
ants.
But at least check
this.
It out. Do the thing where they circle around it.
Yeah.
And just keep walking in a line around something.
Yeah.
I reckon they would
around
go.
And around.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if the ants went over the meat and they went like this. They went like that.
And it breaks the light bulb because it just shoots out from their slippery.
Oh, my God. Like they try to grab the... They try to grab it with their mandibles. Mm. They would probably have more because they're so strong for their size. They could probably, there's probably many ants in space just because of that.
If we, they just slipped out of the earth, it's grabbing. Yeah.
If we could, in our space launch sketch, if we could breed a giant ant to try and bite the soap base of the rocket.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be huge.
That would make a lot of sense.
They're so strong.
Absolutely. And you could just sort of breed a giant ant and then lock it in place, take away its freedom.
Yeah.
Make a giant creature.
Yeah.
Take away its freedom straight away.
That's never gone badly for anyone, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be great. Give it the ability to feel
obviously
pain
and a yearning for freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be cruel not to.
Yeah. I think you wouldn't be able to get it to bite its mandibles down on command if you didn't give it the ability to understand commands.
Mm, mm.
And I think what goes with that, the ability to understand commands, is the ability to be aware of your own mortality.
To resent the commands.
To resent the commands and to obviously, all that. Okay, then we got a press conference where the Prime Minister is being interviewed by his family and the same old tricks. He's up to his same old tricks. Mm. And then the sketch ends.
has anyone ever done a parody? Because there's cop shows with animals, so I'm thinking Inspector Rex is probably the main one, right? Where the dog is the detective in a way.
Mm.
Has anyone ever done one of those, which is a parody one of those, where it's combining the idea of the detective who doesn't follow the rule book? Yeah. The detective who is a dog. So it's basically...
Just a dog.
In many ways, yes.
Is the rule book also a dog?
The rule book is a dog, Alistair.
All right. Okay, look, I like that. While you were saying it, I had this thought that it's a show like that, but instead of the detective being a dog, all the victims are dogs. Is that good? No. You know, but maybe it's like, somebody stole this dog bowl and, maybe.
Oh, okay. Somebody I thought they were all dead, but no, I mean, that's much nicer. No.
You know what? You couldn't make Law and Order if
dead dogs
the bodies were dead dogs.
They'd be just too awful.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, no, it's just another murdered child. They're like, oh, great. But if there's a dead dog.
It's all these dead dogs. Oh, you just couldn't do it. Anyway, it's just something about society. That's really holding up a mirror, guys. And a light to that mirror so that you could see it in case it's dark.
It's not just dark.
Anyway. Then we got slippery soap launch.
And you're facing the shiny side of the mirror to it, obviously, not the side on the back where it isn't very shiny, you can't see very much. So you're holding up a mirror, obviously, the shiny side, putting it, and you've got a light, and the light's not behind the thing, the light's sort of between the thing and the mirror so that it illuminates both the mirror and the thing, and the light reflecting off the thing, you can see.
And you have eyes.
And you're there and you have eyes.
Yeah.
You see it, you look at it, you go, wow.
And your eyes work.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's not like it doesn't quite work because when you see something in a mirror, things are backwards, and that's not what we're trying to say. We're trying to say it's more like a television screen.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We're holding up a...
It's more like just human vision.
Yeah, vision.
Being able
thank
to
you.
See.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's like
anything in front of you.
It's like you're looking at a thing.
You're looking at a thing. Yeah, yeah. The mirror really complicates
it's more of a window. Okay. It's a window, and you're looking through a window at a thing that you're talking about.
But you can also smell it.
You're holding it up. Maybe you're about to install the window. You're carrying the window around. I don't know why. Yeah. Maybe you're a window. You're a window man. You're a glazier.
Society is a window.
Yes.
Okay? And it's looking over a scene. And this is the scene.
Yes. The scene is society.
Yeah.
That's also there.
So, and it's looking at the window.
Yes.
Back at itself.
Like a mirror.
Like, you're right. It's a mirror. And then we have slippery soap launch. which we kind of just went into that, you know. And then there's Distress Ball, which is this horrible, horrible product
horrible
that will appear on my new, it's sort of like a black goop website.
Oh, that's where you were going with that.
Yeah, yep. Sorry. I was bringing it up. So it's like goop.
But products for having a worse life.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good.
I think, yeah, that's amazing.
Goop for worse life.
It's called Poog.
It could be Poog. Yeah, like, I think the other day I came up, like, yeah, well, I think Poog is going to be hard to beat.
Well, I think Poog is just a good word that we haven't used for anything.
So yeah.
Like, there aren't that many good short words
still
running about out there in the wild, as yet uncaptured and domesticated.
Gruff is already taken.
Gruff is freaking good.
Yeah, and Pooch, that's taken.
I mean, there's a lot, Al. So are you going to go through them all now?
Or? Well, just only the ones that have been taken.
Right.
but what about Merce?
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 Yeah.
M-U-R-S-S?
I don't think that's taken, but it's certainly not as funny as Poog.
No, it's not as funny as Poog.
I think there's a reason Merce isn't taken.
Yeah.
It's because it's a piece of Poog.
It's a bloody piece of Poog. Now you're misusing Poog already.
I am.
Oh, no, well, you're right.
Language evolves.
Yeah, that's true.
Stop trying to nail down Poog to be one thing, Alistair. You've got to
move
for the time.
Box it in.
I hate these goddamn Poog police that have come up since we've invented bloody Poog 6 seconds ago. It's bloody Poog Reckness gone mad.
And with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you learn a lot from that baboon.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast, Carly. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So much, Carly.
Hey, Carly, do you have anything coming up that you would like to promote to our listeners?
I do, yeah, I do. I've got a show called P-Stick, P-double-E,
yes.
Stick, which is coming up at the Fringe Festival in Melbourne in September at the Courthouse Hotel.
Excellent.
It's a comedy. It's just me. And there's some singing, there's some laughing from others.
The
hopefully.
Audience.
Yeah, it's fun.
I've seen the show. It's very funny.
Can anybody follow you on anything?
Facebook.
Great.
I am otherwise absent from the online, but you can follow me on stage. That would be great.
Like
the best way to get in touch is to yell at me.
Follow my instructions to see the show on stage.
Correct.
Excellent. And
the plot of my. No, all right.
I forget. I don't know if people know. We're in Melbourne.
We're in Melbourne.
Australia.
Carly's in Melbourne.
Yeah.
The show is in Melbourne. It's a Melbourne thing.
Correct.
But if you want to come from overseas, that's all right. We have an international airport. We don't have a train to the airport, but you can get the Skybus. It's very expensive.
It's not so bad. It's like $17.
Sorry, I don't want to put people off from the show.
No, yeah, you want, like, we're trying to get...
No, come. It's worth it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it.
The Skybus is very reasonable.
I've heard that some of you from Ohio, and you should come, and Skybus is great.
I'll do a special Skybus show. From the front of the bus.
Very good.
Now it is. It's P-Stick or P's Tick.
No. It's Poog.
Poog. Great. So come to Poog.
Poog's
P-Stick.
The tickets are all available on Poog. I'm going to start Poog soon.
If you go to the Fringe Festival website, you'll find it. I'm Andy. Stupid old Andy. That's what I meant to say.
On Twitter.
And
I'm at AlistairTB.
We are Two in Tank. We're part of Planet Broadcasting, which is very cool. And you can see all the other great podcasts that are part of it. Listen to them and their stuff.
Do Go On and Weekly Planet are big ones.
Two examples thereof.
Yeah. And the Josh Earl one.
Don't You Know Who I Am.
Don't You Know Who I Am. Check those out. Also, review us on all the online podcast reviewing systems.
Every single last one of them.
And we love you.
And thanks, George, for producing the podcast.
And thank you for George Matthews.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.